All right, if you'll take your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You'll wait on me there. It'll take me a little while to get there. As we come back tonight to our doctrine on the study of angels. And this is several parts that we've already been studying on this. I do not know what part this is. But you can go back and get that on our website if you're interested in that. The doctrine of angels. This is our topical series that we've been studying through together on sound doctrine, just the different doctrines of the Bible. And I've preached on the doctrine of the Word of God, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the local church. And now we're looking at the doctrine of angels. And we've come now to another section of this study together. Let me pray with you. I'll bring you up to date with where we are. And then we'll proceed tonight. Father, would you help us, I pray. May your will be done in this service. Speak to our hearts. Use the Word of God to minister to us tonight, and I pray for the will of God to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've been looking at the doctrine of angels, there are several things we've already looked at together. First of all, we've noticed their purpose. Their purpose is to glorify God, just like my purpose and your purpose. The second thing is their description, and we noticed several things there. I will not take time to go over that. Currently, we're under their ministry, and we've divided their ministry up into two major sections. First of all, their ministry to God and what they do to and for Him. And then secondly, their ministry to God's children. And under that, that's where we currently are. We've looked at two of these. We've noticed, first of all, that they have a ministry to God's children to protect and deliver us. Secondly, we noticed this last time we were here, their ministry to a child of God is to comfort and encourage us. Now, we come to the third major thing that they do for God's children. There's three things I want to get to tonight that will kind of summarize the rest of this for us. And the next time we come together, I'm still studying on this, so I do not know how long it'll be before I get back to it because it is a detailed, long study. The next time we come to this study, we're going to begin our study on the fallen angels. And that's Lucifer, that's the devil, that's his demons, and all these kind of things, just kind of summarizes some things there. So that's the next time we come together, God willing. I do want to finish this part tonight on their ministry to God's children. The third thing that we see in the Word of God that angels do for the people of God is number three, they guide us. They guide us. Now keep in mind, everything I say to you about angels, it's really God using angels to do this. So don't ever get in the habit of uplifting angels. No, no, no. We're uplifting God that He uses angels to do these things for us. Now, just like guarding and protecting, just like encouraging and comforting, God does not use angels exclusively to do this in our life. But He can use angels to do these things. And that is number three, He can use them to guide us. In different times in the Word of God, now, you're not here yet. You're under the next point here. So I'm just going to give you several scriptures here. But throughout the Word of God, I'm just going to lift out four of these. We see the Lord used angels to guide people in the affairs of life. In other words, angels have been used to help God's people know what to do. What do we do? What should we do? Wisdom, if you will. Now, there's four of these. First of all, letter A under this, in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13, 19, and 20. Now, just stay with me where you are there. We see, first of all, they guided Joseph. Now, let me read this in Matthew 2, 13, 19, and 20. It says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord," there it is again, "appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." So we see here that an angel, God uses an angel, He used an angel here to guide Joseph in what he should do. In other words, go into Egypt. And then when Herod was dead, he told him right here to arise and take the young child, his mother, and go back into the land of Israel. So we see God used an angel to guide Joseph in what to do. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, really that passage, but in verse 26 specifically, We see a second time that God used an angel to guide his people, and that is, secondly, they guided Philip. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26 says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." This is the story in Acts chapter 8 where he's guiding Philip to this Ethiopian eunuch that just happens to be sitting in his chariot reading from Isaiah chapter 53. So we see here that God uses his angel to guide Philip to this Ethiopian eunuch. We see he used his angel to guide Joseph with baby Jesus. Thirdly, we see in Acts chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, that they guided Cornelius. Here's what that passage says. It says, "He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." In other words, this tells us that Cornelius was praying. God sends an angel to guide Cornelius to show him what he ought to do. Then the final one is found in Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 to 17. And that is where they guided Lot and his family out of Sodom. We see this in Genesis 19, 15 says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels," plural, "hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." So we see in these four different Bible illustrations here that God uses an angel to guide his people into what they should do. You know, whenever you ask God for wisdom, by the way, wisdom comes from God, there's no doubt about that. And when you know what to do, in other words, God tells you this is what you should do. You just have a desire to do it, or you understand that's what you should do. I think you understand what I'm talking about here. I'm simply telling you, just like I talked to you about under comfort and encourage, I'm not saying that was an angel, but it could have been. God can guide you and guide me into what we should do by using an angel if he so chooses to do that. Now, there's a reason, in my opinion, that God many times, and maybe even all the times, obviously, he does not let us see an angel. Because human beings have a tendency to worship the creature instead of the creator. Now, here's what I'm trying to get across. I'm trying to show you that God in the Word of God used angels to guide his people. He can still do the same today. But whether he used an angel or not, isn't it great when you pray and God tells you what you should do? Honestly, I'm just trying to show you tonight, without trying to uplift angels too much, that God could have used an angel to show you what to do if you were ever struggling. Should I do that? Should I go there? Should I buy that? Should I? And all of a sudden you just get an overwhelming peace inside your heart. That could have been God sending an angel to guide you into all truth there. By the way, they'll never guide you contrary to God. Ever. Now the fallen angels will. I'm talking about the devil and his angels. They're going to try to tell you opposite of what God will tell you. But the holy angels, the angels that are in heaven tonight, I'm talking about the angels who left not their first estate, the angels who are still right with God and will forever be right with God because they said no to the devil and yes to God, those angels that are holy, they only guide us into truth. That's all they will do. Don't ever listen to something like this. Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? well, God is lead. I've got peace to do this, and yet it's against the Scripture. In other words, and kind of an easy illustration here would be a believer getting ready to marry a non-believer. Now, it's clearly in the Word of God that light does not dwell with darkness. And it's clearly in the Word of God that those who are God's children should not yoke up with unbelievers. That's clearly in the Bible. Clearly. So if somebody says, yes, I'm dating an unsaved person, but God told me to marry them so I can reach them, that was not God who told you to do that. God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. And whatever you're guided to do, it will always, if it's an angel, if it's God, no doubt about it, it's going to be truth that they guide you into. Now, folks, let me say this to you. That right there is something to keep in the back of your mind and in your heart. God will never lead you contrary to this book. So as you pray for wisdom, God will give wisdom. And if he uses an angel, great. I know that's the study tonight. We're talking about angels. But whether he used an angel or not, it's God's guidance, you see. It's God who guides. It's God who gives wisdom. And whether he used an angel or not, praise God and understand he's going to guide us into all truth. The fourth thing he used angels for, and that angels do for and with God's children, this is more of a sobering one here. You know, comforting and giving us peace and comfort and guidance and protecting us, that's all, yes, that's good stuff right there. This next one is more of like, wow. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I've called it this. They observe us. They watch us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to start having you turn to passages with me now, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a" what? You know what that word spectacle means? It means a theater. It means a place for public show. Notice this now. We are made a spectacle unto the world and to, see it, and to angels and to men. Now, for our study tonight, we're talking about angels, okay? Here's what this is saying here. This is telling us that Paul knew under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, because he's writing under God's inspiration here. He's telling us that we, he's talking about God's children, we are spectacles. We are a theater. We're a public show unto angels. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, I will not have you turn there, but it says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality." In other words, there's Paul again in the book of 1 Timothy, and he says this, he says, "Timothy, I'm charging you. I'm giving you a charge. And this charge is before God. It's before the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's also before the elect angels." What's he telling us? He's telling us that angels are watching us live. Now stay with me here. Paul was certain that he was in the angels' line of sight. And it seemed to really matter to Paul that the angels were watching him. Let me ask you a question. Should we assume they're watching us? Yes. Yes, we should. And should it be just as important to us as it was to Paul? Absolutely. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, it's interesting here. I'm just referring to that. Paul seems to think we should hear. Now get it. When he tells us to be orderly in our worship, in context, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For example, in that chapter, one reason he gives to be orderly in our worship is because of the angels. You can read it later, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. Because of the angels. You know what this tells us? See, the angels, we've already studied this, but remember the angels are the worship champions. And they're quite involved, somehow, some way, they're involved in watching how we do it. Got in parentheses here, you might remember that next Sunday morning. That the angels are watching how God's people worship God. I'm going to tell you what that should do. That should cause us to sit up and make sure that we're not too flippant in it, friends. Because we know that the angels are the worship champions. They worship in holiness, reverence, right, all of this fear, everything else. And now God says, I'm just comparing Scripture with Scripture here, that somehow, some way, they're watching us. They're watching how we live. They're watching how we worship God. They're watching how we're living our Christian life. I want to ask you a question. What do the angels see when they watch you? What do the angels see about your attitude, my attitude, our worship, our faith, our witness? What do they see? Now, folks, we understand that that's not a big enough motive. You understand that. Because there's a greater motive than that. The Lord already sees. The Lord knows. But it's interesting that He's letting His angels watch us. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, He's made us a theater to them. He wants them to watch us. You know, Paul also said right here, he sensed the angels watching everything about us. And they'll still be watching in the very end. Matter of fact, turn to Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. I want to show you something here. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. He remarks to this. When he talks about the judgment day, he talks about there's going to be a group there. So in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, here's what he says. Luke chapter 12, verse 8. He says, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before" who? Before the angels of God. "But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." He's talking about the judgment day here. And at the judgment day, look who the spectators are. It's the angels. The angels of God are there. And Jesus said, "He that denies me, I'll deny him before the angels of God. And he who does not deny me, I'll confess him before the angels of God." Now, folks, when that day comes, what do you want the audience of angels to see and hear about you? Isn't it going to be a great day when Jesus Christ claims you? Amen. Now, He's already claimed us, you understand. You're as sure a child of God. If you're saved tonight, you're as sure a child of God as you ever will be. But we understand here that He's talking to His children as well, and He's saying, "Those that do not deny me." Now, that's an open denial, constant denial. That's another sermon, okay? He's saying here that those who are His children, He's going to openly confess that before the angels of God. "He's one of mine. She's one of mine." That's a blessing. And we understand that the angels are the spectators. It's like they're sitting in the grandstands watching us run our race. I don't know what all this means. But I know this, the next time that we're tempted to quit or give up on God, may God remind us, listen, the angels are watching us do this. Now again, I remind you, I've already said it, I sound like a broken record. That's not big enough. I get that. That's not a big enough motive to live for Jesus. I mean, the motive is Jesus Himself. We get all of that. But understand that this is just another benefit of having angels, is that God's letting Him look in and watch us, observe us. Then there's the final thing here, and I'm sure there may be other things, but I don't want to be in this series from now until Jesus comes, unless He comes tonight. Which is good, okay? But there's another one. Turn to Luke chapter 16. You're there in Luke chapter 12. Just turn to Luke chapter 16. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm getting ready to bring out some things here that I do not fully understand, okay? Now, but at least I'm being honest with you, right? I'm just telling you, I don't know When a child of God dies, let me just go ahead and say this. When a child of God dies, I don't know what happens. I do know this. I do know around the death of a child of God, there is a certain mystery. Now, here's what we know. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, that when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 23 that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with us. Amen. I mean, there cannot be a shadow without a light source somewhere, friends. Think about it. And the valley of the shadow of death, there's a shadow in that valley. Let me tell you why. Because there's a light source in that valley. It's Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that He's with us. We know that. Amen. But we see something here in Luke chapter 16 that just kind of like, what does this mean? Luke chapter 16, verse number 20. Here's what I say. Here's the fifth one. Their ministry to us as God's children. Here it is. They carry us home. They take us home. I don't know what all this means, but I mean, look at this here. Luke chapter 16, verse 20. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, notice it now, and was carried by the angels. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, here's the point here. We see here that this passage is not a statement on social justice per se. Rather, it produces assurance on the authority of Christ that believers, no matter how poor and lowly, like Lazarus, have angels as their convoys at death, ushering them into the presence of the King of Kings. Now, Scripture warns us that Satan is the enemy of the soul, and he's the prince and the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. God provides angels to protect His children from Satan on their journey home. Is that possible? I don't know. I'm just pointing out. I told you I don't know what all this means. See, our temporary home here and our permanent home there is separated by an immense stretch of enemy territory. It's a trip that angels must take often, so it's going to be a great comfort to have them at our side as we traverse it ourselves. The point is while certainly we benefit from angelic protection and fellowship on our way home, the act of carrying God's children home is a blessing to the angels. I mean, just imagine as angels usher us home, no doubt the Lord is there, no question. They will witness our first glimpse of heaven's radiant beauty. The Bible tells us that angels watch us and rejoice over our salvation. Surely they must also rejoice at the culmination of our redemption. See, it's a blessing to read in this passage how the angels were not just with Lazarus, they carried him. They carried him. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what happens. I don't know. But it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, just think about it. I mean, when a child of God dies, we know the Lord is there because He's in the valley of the shadow of death. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And right here we learn that when Lazarus died, the angels picked him up and took him home. Folks, I don't know, but it almost kind of makes you look forward to death a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not trying to die. I don't want to die anytime soon. But doesn't that just kind of take a little bit of the fear away? That, I mean, in the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus is there. As soon as your spirit and soul leave your body, you are in the presence of God. And God has the angel pick him up, take him home. I'm telling you, that sounds pretty good tonight. You know, this one man, his name's Larry Libby, he wrote a book or something called Somewhere Angels. Here's what he said. He said, God wants you home so much, He'll send His own angel to meet you. And don't be surprised if the angel is wearing a big smile, end quote. I like that. I like that. All I'm saying is that even in the darkest hours of our life, And really the brightest hour of our life, I'm talking about when we're leaving this world, leaving people behind and going into the presence of Jesus, the angels are there. They're there. That ought to encourage you a little bit tonight, friends. That, listen, hey, we're all dying. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Every one of us are dying. We don't know who's closer than anybody else, but we all have the same promise. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may outlive me, I may outlive you. I don't know. No, nobody knows, but I know this, that one of the parts of the ministries of the angels to God's children is that when it comes time to cross over, they're going to pick you up and take you home. Wow. That's a blessing. I mean, that's encouraging is what that is. So tonight we've looked at three more things about the angels, the holy angels, the righteous angels, the angels that did not leave their first estate, those that are with God in heaven. We've noticed that they guide us, and they always guide us the way God guides, and that's in the truth. Not only do they guide us, but secondly tonight, we looked that they observe us. They watch us. They're watching how we're living our life. They're watching how we worship God. They're watching us. They're observing us. We're a theater to them. They're going to the movies. And that movie's you. They're watching you. Hello, Summer. How are you, young lady? Yeah. They're watching you. They're watching how you live. And, you know, we'd do well to remember that the next time we think about stepping out of line. But I'll say this, there's somebody a whole lot bigger than the angels watching us. His name is Jesus. You understand, I'm not uplifting them above him. Surely you know that by now. But God just gives you added incentives to do what's right. The angels are watching. Give them, don't let the angels go out of the, I'm talking about go out of the theater and say, why'd I ever stop and watch that show for? May they enjoy what they see. Amen. May they enjoy watching us worship God. May they say, now that's how a church ought to do it right there. Watching us. And then the final thing tonight is they are used to carry us home. Jesus is there. The Lord is there. But we see that he used them in Luke chapter 16 to carry Lazarus home. So may the Lord help us just to relax in these things. I'm saying that a lot through this study. I know that. Just relax. Just relax. Because I know there are so many things that are distracting in this world. Amen or not? I'm talking about the battle right here. I'm talking about how the devil just bombards, and I call it the what if syndrome, and what if this happens, and what if that took place, and all of that. I think all of us deal with those kind of things. This study is, it can be used of God to say, God is really, truly on the throne. He's in control, and he can use his angels to take care of his children. And when it comes time to die, I don't know anybody looking forward to dying, but when you hear things like this, it just kind of takes the sting away. It just takes the sting away. Hey, Brother Jack Mosier just recently experienced this. If you have a saved loved one, saved now, know the Lord, they've experienced it. And when it comes your time, if you know the Lord, you will too. Whether you're Lazarus, had to be laid at his gate full of sores, you know what that tells me? They had to carry him to the gate. But when it came time to die, that beggar who had to have human beings carry him to the gate where the dogs licked his sores, God sent a heavenly convoy of angels and said, I love him so much, I want the angels to pick him up and bring him home. Isn't that precious? That is precious. And may God help us to understand these things. You got it tonight? Now the next time we come together, not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. But I will say this. The next time we come together, and I'm still studying on this, you pray for me. Will you do that? You know the devil unloads whenever somebody's trying to expose him, right? You got that. He's not happy with what I'm trying to do. So I covet your prayers. No doubt about that. Because it's my desire, and I'm going to say this, it could be one of the most beneficial series that you'll ever sit under. Because he's trying to wreck and ruin your life just like he is mine. And he's an angel of light. Interesting, isn't it? I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm done. I just feel like talking a little bit more. I know that shocks you tonight. Don't you believe for one second whenever you turn on the TV and there is the cartoon character of the devil with red horns and a long pointy tail and a pitchfork and he looks ugly as sin. That's not the devil, friends. If the devil, Lucifer, walked inside this room right here, he would be the most brilliant, beautiful creature you have ever seen in your life. He's a deceiver. He looks the part, but he does not play it. And we're going to expose him. And I'm convinced today that there's a lot of demonic oppression. I'm convinced in certain parts of the world, no doubt about it, there's demonic possession. But for a child of God, thank God, you can never be possessed with the devil. But we can be oppressed with the devil. There's a difference. And we need to learn how to fight him off. Okay? So tonight, let's rejoice in the holy angels. Thank God for it. Aren't you glad you're on their side? Amen. Aren't you glad they're on our side? Amen. That means we can just relax. Everything's okay. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you bless tonight? Help us as we continue with these thoughts on the study of angels. Help us, Lord God, to get this. And Lord, may you put it in us so much that we just get it. We just relax. We're just confident. We believe, God, that you use your angels to take care of us. And you don't just use them. You use other things. But Lord, you have so many things at your disposal, including the holy angels who carry out your will to protect us and help us and encourage us and guide us and watch us and take us home when it comes time to die. May thy will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I know it's a Bible study. I know it's different on Wednesday night a little bit. Not all that different, but a little bit, especially when I come to a study like this. But I never want to just conclude a service and not give people an opportunity to respond. Because it could be that you needed this tonight. It could be that maybe you're facing something and God just really spoke to your heart tonight about how he uses angels to encourage and comfort and guide and protect and lead you and watch you and take you home when it comes time to die. Or maybe there's one here tonight that does not know Jesus as your Savior. And I encourage you, the altar's open. If you need to come and let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you, I want you to come. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing, and if anybody wants to come, maybe you just want to come and pray and thank God for his goodness to you, or whatever the Lord wants you to do, as Brother Gary sings, you come on now. Would you please?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
All right, if you take out your prayer letters or your prayer list, would you believe, and turn to the missionary section, let me give you some information. The Phillips have been here in the States for a while with some health problems with his heart and also with some retinal issues. And that has all been cleared now. And Lord willing, they're heading back to Kazakhstan at the end of April. So here in the next week or two, they should be heading back. So let's pray for them as they travel. And Dr. Cherian, let me just encourage you, if you have time, to stop in the hallway, read the letter. Gives a lot of numbers about what God has been doing, folks saved and folks who've heard the gospel, and how many children in their schools. And I mean, folks, they're doing a great work for the Lord. And really, the prayer request right now, all their summer teams are now out, and we have given money to those summer teams, and they'll be going all over India and neighboring countries, holding revival meetings and working there all summer long. And so let's really be praying for those folks, all the students, the faculty. They're all out now, and they'll be trying to reach folks for Christ. So let's pray for these evangelistic teams. And then finally, the carriers, and they're going to be with us for our missions conference, and they are on deputation trying to raise money to go to Chile. Let me just mention to you, they were married in Georgia, and most of you could not go to the wedding. And so Friday night, we're going to do something special for them. We're going to have some wedding cake, and we'll have them over in the corner. It'll all be decorated up real nice, and we'll have a place you can put some cards if you'd like to. So be planning ahead for that. That'll be Friday night next week, and we'll have a special time, and you get free cake too. So, I mean, what else can you ask for? So be prepared for that, and we'll mention it again down the road here. But let's pray for them. They are taking on new churches, or new churches are taking them on, and they are trying to raise their support so they can get to Chile as quickly as possible.